Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 15. I'm going to begin reading verses 1 down through 14. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every man, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Our subject today, the wisdom of Christ's love. Today we shall once again look at the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and see its many facets for us to learn and to follow. My hope is that all of us will profit from this study and be more like the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily lives. Now, our lesson falls into these categories. First of all, the different action true love inspires. Then, secondly, we shall see the discernment in Christ's love. And then, if we have the time, we shall look at the practical aspect of it for our learning. You follow along in your Bibles, and you listen carefully, and my hope is that you're getting a blessing out of this, and also that you're sharing these broadcasts with your friends and neighbors and loved ones, and my hope is that you'll just become a regular helper in this matter by telling your friends to tune in the broadcast as you do. If you want a copy of these messages, you let us know. We can work out the details, because we do have them on cassette tape, but we do not have them in print. Now let's look at the wisdom of Christ's love. Our lesson falls into this category. First of all, the different action that true love inspires. A lot of people today, you know, they profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find they say, oh, how they love the Lord, but they don't love their fellow man. And we see very clearly this is proof that they don't love the Lord God of heaven either. Because our Lord says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, true love inspires different kinds of actions. These actions were set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember now, he is our example. And therefore, as he lived, so we need to live on this earth as believers if we have truly come to know him. We find true action, first of all, inspires the action of concern. Now, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and look with me at verse 12. Where we read what this says. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Here you see the Lord Jesus Christ praying all night and on the behalf of others and for the benefit of others. This sets forth the action of concern. And my friend, today I'm going to ask you believers at this hour, how long has it been since you've been on your knees before the Lord God of heaven and wept over the salvation of your lost loved ones and of your neighbors and of your friends? You see, this is a love of concern. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ set forth the action of concern because true love inspired this kind of action. And it does the same with regard to the believers at this hour. Our Lord prayed all night on behalf of others. Now today in our churches, oh, I'll tell you can have roller skating parties, you can have TV parties, you can have swimming parties, you can have gymnasiums, and you can have picnics, and party, and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you right now, if you have an all-night prayer meeting, rest assured of one thing, very few people are going to come, and those that come aren't going to stay all night. People put up one excuse after another to pray for the benefit of others. Oh, they're too busy. They have too much to do, and so on and so forth. And we see very clearly, it sets forth, there's no love which has caused an action of concern. And this is what true love inspires. My Lord prayed all night for the benefit of others. He not only did it in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, but if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, you'll find that our Lord did practically the same thing right here. Listen to what it says. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, the Word of God says this, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when evening was come, he was there alone." You see, my Lord was a man of prayer, and we find God's people need to be the same thing. This is the action of concern that true love inspires. Then, my Lord prayed not only all night for the benefit of others, but he also pleaded for the forgiveness of his enemies. In Luke chapter 23 and verses 33 down through verse 38, here is the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and this is what it says. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." But our Lord prayed for them. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And my friend, I'm so glad that he did, because otherwise there would be no forgiveness for us at this present hour. Then our Lord did something else. He provided a home for his loved one. In John chapter 19, look with me if you will, beginning at verse 25, down through verse 27, we read these words. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother Mary," or his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, "and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." And our Lord here provided a home for his loved ones. And we find very clearly that some people today, you know, they get so religious and so caught up in so what they think is the things of the Lord that they have no time to provide for anyone else except themselves. And beloved, this is not the true love that our God talks about. Then our Lord also plucked a soul from the very jaws of hell. Again, go back with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 23 and listen to what it says. In Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 39, you have the two malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And we find one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Here's our Lord sovereignly plucking a soul from the jaws of hell. Then go back again to Luke chapter 23 and look at verse 35 and 6. "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. But our Lord paid no attention to the insults and the railings of many." And are you listening, my friend? These are the actions that true love inspires. This is the action of concern. All my hope is that every true believer will have more of this manifested in their daily lives from this minute on. Then our Lord not only set forth the action of concern, but he set forth also conscientiousness, the action of conscientiousness. Now, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, our Lord was conscientious of everything that was going around him. And we find very clearly in Matthew chapter 17, take your Bibles now, turn to Matthew chapter 17, and look with me at verse 24 down through verse 27, where we find the Lord God of heaven says these words. Matthew chapter 17, and look with me at verse 24 down through verse 27. Listen to it. "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He said, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children, or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Now what do you have here? Well, payment was required on the part of Caesar. You see, our Lord was conscientious in his citizenship. So many believers today have the idea that they can do what they want to, say what they want to, act what they want to, behave like they want to, and nobody has any control over them. And they say, well, only person that can control me is the Lord God of heaven. And it sets forth there's no love for Christ here, because our Lord set forth the action that true love inspires. It's the action of conscientiousness. Payment was required by Caesar, and our Lord paid it. Now what about us at this present hour? Take your Bibles again, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 13 and verses 7 and 8. And we see very clearly this is what the Word of God teaches. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 7 and 8, we read, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. All right, believer, I'm going to ask you a question at this hour. Are you trying to cheat on your income tax? Then don't talk about loving the Lord God of heaven and having the love of God upon in your heart. Because, my friend, the Lord God of heaven paid a tribute to Caesar, and our Lord tells us very clearly, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom honor, or fear and honor to whom honor. And that sets forth conscientiousness. And if God's people are not conscientious, there's something wrong in their innermost being. Then the third thing. We find also our Lord was conscientious because there was perfect adherence to the law's requirement. Again, Matthew chapter 8, and look with me at verses 1 through 4. And remember now, we are speaking of the action and the wisdom of Christ's love. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we read, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now what do you have here? Perfect adherence to the law's requirement. A leper was required to show himself unto the priest when he was clean, and he was to take an offering and remain outside the camp 7 days and so on. And our Lord Jesus never deviated from that one iota. And beloved, today, you and I need to set forth perfect adherence as much as possible and adherence to the law of God. Now someone might say, now wait a minute, preacher. If we're under grace, we're not under law. That is true. But we find the law is written in our hearts. And we delight in the law of God after the inward man. And therefore we seek to uphold its precepts. And we don't have to do it for salvation. We do it because we love it and because we love the Lord God of heaven. And our Lord Jesus Christ set forth a perfect adherence to the law's requirement. And then last of all, under the conscientiousness, our Lord placed the cause of God above his own interest. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Take your Bibles now and turn to Philippians chapter 2 and look with me at verse 5 through 8. And this is what it says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Now what do we have here? We find our Lord placed the cause of God above his own interest. Now what's the biggest problem in our churches today? Want me to tell you? The people have placed the love of their own causes above the cause of God. Now I'm going to get some of you very angry, but I'm going to tell you right now, as a true believer, you need to find a church that where you can worship the Lord God of heaven, and you need to get involved in that church. When you have that privilege, not everybody does, but when you have that privilege, I'll tell you right now, you need to be there on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, you need to be on Wednesday night if the doors of that church are open, you need to pray for it, you need to support it by your tithes and offerings, and you need to advertise it, and you need to pray for your pastor and those that are in authority over you, and I'll tell you right now, you need to support them to the hilt, and we find you need to subjugate all your own interests to the interests of God. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. But we find today, people are doing just the opposite. They skip church to build their homes. They skip church to go swimming. They skip church to go to the amusement park. They skip church to go swimming, or to go boating, I should say. They go on picnics, and they meet with Aunt Susie and Uncle Joe, and we find they forget the Lord God of heaven, or else if they go on vacation, they go up somewhere where they don't even bother to find a church to worship the Lord God of heaven, and then they try to tell you how much they love the Lord. My friend, that doesn't add up. The Lord Jesus Christ set an example, and we are to follow his example. Now there's another thing that we need to look at. We see also there's discernment that is involved in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Our Lord understood entirely what was involved in the scheme of redemption. Our Lord knew that sin had to be paid for. Our Lord knew also that the justice, holiness, and wrath of God had to be satisfied. And our Lord also knew that the grace, mercy, and peace of God had to be satisfied along with the justice and holiness and wrath of God. And yet our Lord never flinched one iota. He understood entirely what was involved in the scheme of redemption. And he didn't flinch at all. He set his face like a flint to go to the cross, and he did so. Then our Lord also knew that the omniscience and omnipotence and the glory of God was to be exalted in his death, burial, and resurrection. And our Lord undertook this task joyfully. He undertook it voluntarily. He undertook it vicariously, and I'm so glad he did. And then he undertook it victoriously. He came for the victor. And because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, you and I, through him, have everlasting life. And therefore, we the justice of God, the holiness of God, the wrath of God is satisfied in Christ, or for us in Christ. And we see very clearly that our Lord Jesus Christ is the absolute perfect Savior. Now, some of you here, you're trying to work your way to heaven. You get very religious, and I'll tell you right now, you've never seen yourself as a guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinner. And as I've said before, I'm going to say again, before you taste of the love of God, you're going to taste of the wrath of God. God is angry with the sinner. And every sinner outside of Christ, God is angry with. It doesn't make any difference whether that sinner be in the world, in the pulpit, in the pew, or in the gutter. It doesn't make any difference where that sinner is and who that sinner is. God is angry with the wicked every day. And the only hope for that sinner is for the Lord Jesus Christ to love him and to shed his salvation in his heart. And my hope is that something has been said to cause you to realize that there is no other Redeemer but the Lord Jesus Christ. And you believers at this hour, my hope is that something has been said to stir you up and cause you to serve the Lord God of heaven better than ever before. It's a great privilege to be a believer. It's a great privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our Lord has set that example, he set it for us to follow, and my hope is that we will. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late. Jesus, my Savior, forever.